Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday. Appreciate you joining us. Walker Wildman in studio with us. Walker, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And also Ray Pritchard, co-hosting from Dallas. Ray is
With us. Yeah, good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Yourself?
You know, it's bright and sunny, and Tim, it's going to be, believe it or not, 90 degrees here in Dallas today. 90.
Wow. It's going to be mid-70s here.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm looking at the weather thing, and they've got, you know how they put little symbols? They've got the sun, and it's got a cactus next to it. That's not a good sign, is it? A cactus in February?
Now, is that, it's got to be a record.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, you know, typically it should be like it is in Tupelo, maybe mid-70s, 78, something like that. So this is, I guess this is good golf weather if you like to sweat it out, you know?
Now, it's saying 60. I'm looking at your, I'm just, you know, holding you accountable. Trust to verify.
Go.
I'm trust
yes,
to verify.
That's right.
And
it's
saying 86 on the Weather Channel for Dallas today. But
86, 87.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
one of these local meteorologists had it out at 90 degrees.
Night.
I tell it.
Wow,
yeah.
For February. Well,
for
Fred
February.
Jackson, who hails from Nova Scotia, they never saw 90 in all of his growing up years.
Well, I look at the temperature every morning, and this morning at 5 o'clock, they were well below freezing and not going to get much better today.
No. You know, it's funny. It is funny. The older you get, the more you look at the weather.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Weather and obituaries. What is that about? That's kind of morbid, isn't it?
See what, Walker, you have to look forward to.
I know, Walker.
That's right.
I'm going to stay away from that.
Post 50, you start looking to see who died that you knew.
Well, you look at the obituary. If your name's not there, you get up and get dressed.
You're good.
You're good to go, right, for another day.
Oh, my.
Not there. All right. A lot to talk about. Today on the program, Walker is going to be doing his job over here. Walker, we got Facebook going on.
Yes, we're doing Facebook Live, which means you can watch the show and listen at the same time on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Watch and listen at the same time?
Yes, at the same time. You got audio and visual. So I hope all your senses
are
working.
Are we in HD or 3D?
Oh, it's HD. We're not in 4K yet.
We're not?
No, not yet.
I got a 4K television. I'm just waiting on the world to catch up with me.
Yeah, you just don't have any 4K channels, do you?
Do I? I don't even know.
I don't think you do.
Wait a minute, guys. I'm showing my age here. How much
What's
better
4K?
Is 4? What is 4K?
It's 4K. Better than HD. So they say.
That's a good answer.
Well,
right.
That is a good question. I bought my TV a year ago, and I went into the big box store, and it's 4K is the next step beyond HD. Next after that, I guess, is you enter into the screen to participate in the show, because I don't see how it can get any better than this 4K high. 4K is just a...
You may explain from a technical standpoint?
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm struggling. I just know it looks awesome, and I paid a couple hundred more dollars. I probably didn't need to, but I was one of those "I've got to have this" type thing.
And you can never go back now, right?
Yeah, no.
I just looked this up via our friend Google, and it says that 4K is known as the ultra high definition. So 1080p is what
pixels
is what HD is.
Okay.
So 4K is 4,000 pixels.
Okay.
Yeah.
So more dots.
Correct.
Yeah. More dots, but it's a more vivid picture.
Okay.
But I was reading after I bought this 4K TV, you know, we're going to have to wait on the stations and everybody to start sending it in 4K before you can actually utilize your TV to its maximum. So by that time, my TV will probably be out of won't work anymore. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But I did, and I'm not often suckered. Ray, I'm not often suckered into, you know, buying the newest and the latest. I buy used golf balls. That's kind of how I am.
But, you know, if you're going to watch the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
You want to see. You want every pixel you can get on your screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
As many as possible.
But you know, you reach your zenith, and there used to be a zenith TV.
That's right.
Right.
At some point, you reach the level where it doesn't. The next one, you know, it's kind of like being a billionaire.
Right.
And after you got after 3 billion, well, another billion doesn't matter because you never see it or feel it. You know.
No.
So. I guess I've never been there.
That's a theory. We're not close enough to really know the truth about that.
Somebody said one time, you know, money can't buy happiness. And I said, well, I sure like to give it a shot.
That's right. Just let me try it.
Let me test run that.
All right. So Facebook Live, Walker?
Yes, sir. Facebook Live. Today's issues.
All right, Fred, slow news day, right?
No, it's an interesting news day. It really is. The U.S. Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, and Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly are in Mexico today meeting with Mexican officials to discuss, and I'm not sure if that's the right verb, to discuss President Trump's initiative on securing our southern border and deportations. Now, to kind of set up the meeting, yesterday, Mexico's Foreign Relations Secretary, Luis Videgaray, I'm hoping I pronounced that right.
Luis.
Okay. Here's what Mr. Videgaray had to say. I want to say clearly and most emphatically that the Mexican government and the Mexican people have no reason to accept unilateral decisions imposed by one government on another. We are not going to accept that because we don't have to. Now, you understand what he's saying. We don't have to accept that you folks in the United States are going to deport thousands of people back into our country. We don't have to accept that. You have no right to do that to us. And the story goes on, the Associated Press story goes on to say that they may go to the world court in an attempt to stop the United States, which last time I looked is a sovereign nation, from deporting people who are in this country illegally. So that is the tone going into this meeting today.
Is it today?
It is today. It's happening right now.
This is the definition of a tough assignment for Rex Tillerson, right?
It is. It is. Now, for General Kelly, I think he's just going to read the riot act. This is going to happen, folks.
You know, This is interesting. A president or prime...
Foreign Relations Secretary.
Okay. Well, but he's probably taken from the direction of the president of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Just as our guys will be from
the president. Of a country is saying that they will not take their own citizens back.
Yep.
Is that legal? No. That's like U.S. citizens being denied by Trump back into the U.S.
Well, that's, you know, we were talking about this in the newsroom this morning. But for this foreign relations secretary to state this publicly is an indication of how things have been going for the last 30, 40 years.
Right.
Mexico has been getting the best side of this deal for a long, long time. Heritage Foundation, just to bring these numbers to our folks, the Heritage Foundation has estimated that the U.S. taxpayer is spending $54 billion a year to educate, give health care benefits, and to basically take care of folks who are in the country illegally. Furthermore, people who are in this country illegally are sending back to Mexico $24 billion a year. So from their point of view, and they believe, the folks in Mexico, this is the way it should be. And furthermore, also, they have the far better deal in trade. So then-Canada Donald Trump, now President Trump, addressed all of this during the election campaign and said we're going to put a stop to it. And this is the face-to-face meeting that's going on today. And as I say, I think General Kelly will read the riot act for Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State. He's going to kind of try to smooth this over, but that is an assignment, as you say, Tim or Ray, that's a tough one.
You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, this is... This is again this is just below a one-on-one between the two presidents, that is, of Mexico and the United States. This is a Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson from the U.S., and Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly meeting with Mexican officials. Again, this goes back to what I was saying a couple of days ago. The attitude by many on, I guess, on the Mexican side is rather presumptuous.
Yes.
to say, you know, to say the least. And I guess that's what kind of rubs me wrong is this idea that no, we deserve what we want.
How dare you enforce your laws, United States?
Well, Mexico enforces its laws on its southern border.
You
with
bet
Honduras.
They do,
and they deport people too.
They deport people. I just wish the rancor. I hope this doesn't escalate. On the same time, I don't want my government, President Trump, he ran on this. I want the border secure, build a wall, and start enforcing the laws. Because we have to have we just can't have a country, as President Trump has said, you don't have a country if you don't have borders.
You know, a big part of the problem, Tim,
yeah.
And guys, is these big Mexican drug cartels
that
essentially run those cities on the border with the U.S. and the Mexican government. I mean, they've got problems with us, right? But their real problem is inside their own border.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That those cartels, I mean, they're armed, they're dangerous, they shoot to kill, they have a lot of money. I mean, you hate to say it, but drug smuggling is a big profitable business, and Mexico in no way has that situation under control. So it's they're facing a lot of bad choices there. And I guess the only thing we can do is secure our border and hope they can take care of the problem on their side.
You know, ideally what you'd, you know, Americans and Mexicans, love each other. I mean,
right.
We have a fondness,
right.
You know, I've vacationed there several times in Mexico, and the Mexican people, generally speaking, are very friendly, hardworking, personable. I mean, I don't like the, you know what I'm saying? I don't like the tension that this creates.
It's better when we get along.
Yes. However, you know, it takes two.
Yeah.
It takes two to do this, and it would be nice if the Mexican government would say, look, we understand. We got issues on our own southern border with people coming to our country illegally. We deport them. We secure our border. We the Mexican government, we would like to help you, America, keep citizens from our country from coming into your country illegally. So we're going to help you along the border, and we can work together to get rid of these drug cartels so that the people who live along the border are safer, and, two, that we stop the flow of drugs into the U.S. from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, you know, you would have that kind of an attitude from the Mexican side towards us, and not just make us seem like we're, quote, the bad guys. But
I think the issue here is this problem has been allowed to fester for decades, both under Republican and Democratic presidents. You know, amnesty after amnesty after amnesty, and this has built to the point where the $24 billion that illegals in this country send back to Mexico, I think it is the largest source for the Mexican economy.
Right.
I mean, stop and think about this, that people who are in this country illegally are the best source of revenue for the nation of Mexico. And that's because this problem has been shoved along and shoved along and shoved along all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And along comes President Trump and says, we got to stop this.
Right. This is madness,
mm-hmm.
what he says. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Did you post that story up?
Yes.
On our Facebook page that
yes, sir.
Fred just talked about? Today's Issues Facebook page, Walker just posted that story. All right, what do you got next?
Something else related to this, and I was watching an interview this morning with the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, talking about his tough stand that he is going to take against cities in Texas that declare themselves sanctuary cities related to this. And in the Austin area in particular, we know already publicly that they have said they will continue to be a sanctuary area. Also, I think the county, which is, I believe it is at Travis County, there in Texas. And so Governor Abbott laid out very clearly this morning that the state government there in Texas is going to take a very strong stand against any municipality, any county that decides it wants to be a sanctuary city and harbor those who are in this country illegally. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Because that sheriff has now adopted a sanctuary city policy, as governor, I defunded government grants to that city to the tune of $1.5 million, but that's just the starter. We now have passed out of the Texas Senate what's called Senate Bill 4. What Senate Bill 4 does is to impose real penalties for sheriffs and counties like this. It adds fines that could add up to about $9 million a year. Okay. It adds real penalties, including the possibility of criminal penalties for public officials who adopt sanctuary city policies. This is passed out of the Senate. We look to have it passed out of the House. I will be signing an anti-sanctuary city law in the state of Texas here in the coming months. Texas is going to come down hard on any city, any county, any public official that adopts a sanctuary city policy.
Governor, are you suggesting that the sheriff of that county in Texas could actually be arrested?
Yes. Under this new law, if you have a public official, including a sheriff, who continues to adopt sanctuary city policies after this ban goes into place, they could be criminally prosecuted and themselves wind up in jail, the place where they are releasing dangerous criminals from.
All right, and he's talking about Sheriff Sally Hernandez. That's who he's using as an example, who is sheriff in Travis County. Sounds to me, Ray, like Governor Abbott means business.
Don't mess with Texas, right? I think the problem here is the Republicans control the state. They control the legislature. They've got the White House. I'm not the White House, but the State House. But the Democrats control the big cities. So we're on a collision course here in Texas between what happens in Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and especially Austin, and what the governor is saying. Wouldn't it be something? Can you imagine? Can you imagine an elected sheriff being carted off to jail for trying to support sanctuary cities? Wow, what headlines that would be!
Walker, what is a sanctuary city exactly?
Well, a sanctuary city essentially means that those who are in this country illegally are protected from the law, from federal law. So that they call it a sanctuary city. It sounds good. It sounds nice. But it actually means that that city, the officials in that city, refuse to enforce federal immigration laws.
Or cooperate with.
Yeah, so if a criminal commits a crime, robs a bank, kills somebody, and is in the local county jail or the city jail, those officials refuse to release that individual to the federal official so they can be deported.
Yeah.
And
well,
most
you
of times,
wouldn't want to deport them if they murdered somebody, though. You'd have to have a trial, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but if you do a misdemeanor,
right,
you know, or
go ahead,
small crime.
Well, the one thing the governor's doing that's very smart here, he's holding the purse strings, right? Money talks. Money is the mother's milk of politics, right? I mean, this is how everything happens, especially in a state like Texas. So we're set up here for a collision course, not today or tomorrow, but in the weeks and months to come between what Governor Abbott and the Republicans, who control the State House in Austin versus these very liberal local city governments, especially a city like Austin's extremely liberal. But
you know,
Dallas
is
fairly liberal too. So we'll see. We've got a showdown coming here in Texas.
This issue reminds me of this issue of illegal immigration reminds me of, you know, having a sickness in your body, and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait for treatment. And as you wait and wait and wait, not wanting to deal with it because you don't have time to go to the doctor, or you're scared of the treatment, or whatever, everything just festers and gets worse and worse and worse, till finally you're forced to deal with it, as I think America has become forced to deal with it, as evidenced by President Trump's election. And so now it's more painful for everybody involved than it would have been had you dealt with this 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, or so. Now, President Reagan tried to deal with this in the 80s as he gave amnesty. He and the Congress gave amnesty, I mean outright amnesty, to the people who were here illegally at that time in hopes of when that was it and that would solve the problem and then we would secure the border and we wouldn't have this problem anymore. Well, that didn't work. You know, for all the good that President Reagan did, that was an idea that did not work, as we see over time. It only encouraged more people to come here illegally because they thought, well, they'll do this again. the American government will do this again, and amnesty. And when you get amnesty, correct me if I'm wrong, Fred, amnesty, you become full citizens. Is that true?
Well, official amnesty, that's what happens. Is that,
I mean, with voting privileges and everything else.
Exactly. Well, it's for citizens, and I'm not sure of all the law.
Right.
You know, green card holders cannot vote. You have to be a citizen of the United States in order to vote. But here's what's happened. Amnesty is not talked about much anymore because we're allowing people who don't even apply for amnesty to come into this country and stay and work and have kids and all of that sort of thing. The problem, and you did a good outline, it's like a disease. And it's been allowed to fester and fester and fester. Ray, just to your point, it's kind of interesting. Out in the county of Santa Clara in California, which I think includes San Jose, they're having a news conference out there, county officials today. They're going to ask a federal court to block implementation of the Trump administration's plan to strip the county of nearly $1.7 billion in funds used to deliver critical countywide services. Now, what this is all about is the sanctuary city issue, because President Trump has said, sanctuary cities, you want to be a sanctuary city, we're going to cut off federal funds. But here you go again. They're going to go to a federal judge. And if I was a betting man, depending on who this federal judge is, he's going to declare, Washington, President Trump, you cannot stop federal dollars from coming to this city. I bet you that's going to be the ruling, because we saw the precedent for that, what, just the other day, when a judge was saying you can't stop funding Planned Parenthood. It's getting a little silly.
Yeah, I want to read a quote. The other night, Fox News had an immigration town hall hosted by Martha McCallum, I believe.
Right.
And she had an angel mom on, which is a mother who lost their child to an illegal immigrant.
Yes.
And she said, her name is Laura Wilkerson. Her son was murdered by an illegal immigrant because local officials failed to deport or turn in this immigrant, illegal immigrant. And she said, quote, nobody gets sanctuary from the law, end quote. And I thought that simplifies it, because all citizens have to live under the law, and all people in this country, legal or non-legal, have to live under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying no one gets sanctuary from the law, and that's a good point.
Yeah.
You're listening. Well, go ahead, Ray.
I'm just going to say, Fred, to your point, and Walker, that I think you're right. That's what's going to happen out in California. May eventually happen here in Texas. Find a judge, issue an injunction, and then we've got a stalemate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got a constitutional crisis.
Yeah, you do.
If a federal judge can tell the United States Congress how they have to spend their money, you have a problem, a big problem. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back after the break. Hey, you remember us interviewing a couple days ago, Autumn Lindsay, the 16-year-old girl from the Bellingham, Washington area, who did the 8-minute video response to Teen Vogue magazine about their pro-abortion stance? That video is going over 1 million views. It's posted at our Today's Issues Facebook page. It's a powerful video that this young 16-year-old girl wrote. I told her when it went over 1 million, we would have her back on. Well, it didn't take but a couple days, and she's going to be on with us. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time. Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The first cries of a newborn baby signal the miracle of life. There are some who believe that life actually begins at that point, that whatever is in the womb is just tissue and could possibly even be an accident. But the Bible shows something quite different. In Psalm 139, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Life begins in the womb at the point of conception, and the Bible makes it clear that it's not just tissue, and there are no accidents with God. Life is a precious gift that's meant to be treasured, not destroyed. In fact, life is so valued by God that He sent His Son Jesus to be the sacrifice for sin so we could have life with Him for eternity. If life is that important to God, shouldn't we do all we can to protect it? For your help in defending the sanctity of human life, thank you. From AFR.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University is in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. President Trump has reversed President Obama's transgender bathroom guidelines, much to the relief of parents and students across the fruited plain. The previous administration's orders directed schools to let boys who identify as girls and vice versa to use the bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers of their choosing. They threatened to pull federal funding from any school that refused to comply. But thanks to President Trump, common sense has prevailed, and our bathrooms will no longer be used for social injustice. Engineering. Finally, I'm broadcasting from our nation's capital today, in town for CPAC, the Super Bowl for conservatives. Among those scheduled to engage the crowd, President Trump, Vice President Pence, and yours truly. I'll be signing copies of my newest book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. Visit toddstarnes.com to get more on my deplorable tour across the fruited plain. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. We'll have highlights from actual conservatives at CPAC who know what they're doing. Milo is not the only one who supports pedophilia. So does Bill Maher. We have proof. And the Muslim who wants to lead the Democratic Party wants to impeach Trump and thinks the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. On Focal Point today at 105 Central.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program. Today's issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We are on 184 stations, Walker says.
Next week, we will be on 185 in Jacksonville, Florida.
We're on an AM station there, but we're going to turn an FM on in Jacksonville, Florida, reach all over the area. We're excited about that. That's coming up probably on Monday. So we're just tremendously anticipating a great response there in the Jacksonville area. And we thank you, wherever you may be listening to AFR across the country or on the app, on the AFR app or on the internet or on our Today's Issues Facebook page. We consider ourselves sort of a gathering place, if you will, for right-wing nuts. And so, if you're a right-wing religious deplorable, then you come to the right place.
And if
gentlemen.
You cling to your guns and your Bible and your religion,
that's right.
we consider ourselves a place for people who love God, love their country, and have common sense. That's how we would describe ourselves, and so that's what we try to promote here: God, country, and getting Christians educated and informed and involved so we can make a difference. And we are making a difference. Dr. Ray Pritchard joining me from Dallas to co-host the program along with Walker and Fred. Am I right there? You think I'm on target with that description, Ray?
Oh, that's us, right?
Yeah.
We're conservatives, we're Americans, we love our country, and we're trying to motivate and encourage Christians to get involved and make a difference. Other people on the other side might use other things to describe us, but we think we're in the mainstream, right?
So we believe in mixing religion and politics.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
This could be the end right here.
We do believe in that, not in a theocratic kind of way. But what we're saying is Christians, we should stand for our values and
right.
our morality and righteousness, and we should promote the Constitution, that's nothing in conflict between the Constitution and living out our Christian life. So we encourage you to practice your faith, be bold, and stand for truth as we make a difference in our country. Fred Jackson here with us from OneNewsNow.com.
Yes, sir.
All right, speaking of good, making a difference and some good news, we got some good news to report.
Oh, absolutely. We had a lot of good news to report today. Todd Starnes was just on. He was talking about he's going to be reporting from CPAC, which is opening today.
What is that for those
CPAC,
who don't know?
CPAC, Conservative Political Action Committee. Is opening today in the Washington area. Don't think they're downtown. They're actually just outside of D.C. They're meeting just outside. CPAC's been around for a long, long time. And they're going to hear this year from the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is going to be there on Friday. I think Vice President Pence is going to be there today. He's going to be there. And something interesting, they always do a straw poll the last day as to who they would pick for president. But they're going to do the straw poll this year. I'm scratching my head on that one a little bit.
Who all is going to be on the list?
I want to know.
Yeah. Right.
Because I think Ted Cruz has done quite well in those straw polls mm-hmm. through the years. But are they talking about 2020? Are they talking about 2024?
Right.
They're getting out there to 2024. That's a long projection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a lot of new faces by then.
Yeah,
but no, they're meeting there, and of course they're going to be talking about the President Trump agenda, the things that he promised during the election campaign, and I think you're going to have a lot of speakers who are going to be saying we need to hold the president's feet to the fire, mm-hmm. particularly on the issue, guys, of religious freedom.
Right,
and that's a big issue with us right now. If the president needs to sign an executive order, and that has to do with ensuring that Christians can still run their businesses according to their Christian principles, mm-hmm. and that our freedom of speech cannot be interfered with by other laws, which has been the agenda of the other side for many years.
Right? Yeah, and we're going to be talking about this story just a little bit. I've got an interview coming up right now, but mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about a good news story from yesterday where the Trump administration reversed a Obama directive. President Obama, a year ago May, or last May, issued a decree, if you will, that went out across the land that all schools must allow boys into women's restrooms and showers and locker rooms in the name of transgendered rights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a strong reaction across America against this kind of forced PC from President Obama's administration, and President Trump and Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, yesterday said, we're not doing this. That's not an issue for the federal government to be involved in. That will be handled on a state level. So we applaud the president and the attorney general for making this decision. We can talk more about that later, but it's rare that we do interviews anymore on this program, but I thought this was a great story to talk to the gentleman firsthand who has lived it. His name is Michael Jackson Sr., and Mike joins us now on the phone. Mike, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning to you.
Where are you today?
Well, I'm in Greenville, Tennessee, over on the other side of the mountain, down from Asheville, North Carolina.
You go down from Asheville to go to Tennessee?
Yeah, you go south. We're just down the mountain about 60 minutes or so.
Down the mountain. Well, Mike, I read about your story, and now I'm seeing North Carolina and Tennessee in my mind. You can go. Mike's not lying to us. You can go down from North Carolina to get to Tennessee at some point. Mike, tell us a little bit of your background here as we talk about your story.
Well, I was a young man when I learned of Christ and became a Christian. I went off to Bible college, to Pillsbury Bible College in Owatonna, Minnesota. And then later I got into business. And I've always had business skills. And over the 20-some years, generated a couple of $1 billion in business and green technologies, and ended up getting into a whole new ministry later on in life.
Well, you were in charge of you were president CEO of a Fortune 500 company?
Yeah, Inc. 500, 1,000, 21st fastest-growing company in America for 5 years. And so that kept us pretty busy here.
I guess so. So you're living the good life, Mike. What happened?
Well, I got caught in 2008 and 2009. You were talking a little bit about our country, and the banks went broke, if you recall. And I was in 22 countries and had 1,100 employees. And all of a sudden, the bank called me up and said, you know what, we need the money worse than you do, and called my note, even though we had never been late, never missed a payment. And my wife and I found ourselves in a real mess. We went through the Red Sea so many times, I can't even begin to tell you how God was faithful and took us through those troubled times.
Did you lose the company?
I got in what's called a forced sale, where the bank came in and said, we have someone that wants to take your company over. I had been building that company for about 25 years and found myself with zero in hand after all them years, pretty much just paid the bank off. And that's actually how my Christian retreat called Elijah's Harbor was born and birthed. My wife and I found ourselves texting each other in a 22,000-square-foot home with five guest homes around us. We used to get about 1,000 guests every 60 days to this little town in Tennessee. And now all of a sudden we found ourselves in this big old place kind of trying to figure out what we were going to do. And that's how we came up with the idea of a retreat focused on pastors and people in ministry.
Elijah's Harbor is what it's called. So you turned a house into a retreat center?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit more than a house. It's 22,000 square feet, along with an 8,000-square-foot classic car garage and five guest homes on 250 acres at the base of the Smoky Mountains. Over 2,500 pastors and their families have visited Elijah's Harbor this year alone, actually last year, 2016. And so it's been an amazing adventure for my wife and I. We started with a couples retreat with five couples, having no idea what we were doing, and God just blessed this ministry over and over and over.
So where, how can people go and learn more about this? And again, who is this for exactly?
Anybody in ministry, pastors, families, churches. We do a lot of church retreats, a lot of staff retreats, missionaries. What we created is, you know, God blessed us with, even though what we went through, with the ability to support a lot of these people. You know, folks in ministry are under a lot of duress in America today. Thousands of churches closing their doors, and these gentlemen, their families, come from all over North America to the harbor. And we just basically give them some rest and some time to consider their futures and how they can best serve. But have your people just go to Elijah's Harbor, just like Elijah in the Bible. If you remember, he went up on the mountaintop after a great victory and needed some rest and needed some food and needed some understanding. And Elijah's Harbor, E-L-I-J-A-H-S, no apostrophe, harbor.com. And people will be quite surprised. There's not many ministries or retreats like this in the world today.
All right. Well, listen, what a story. You went from from a great successful business career to 2008, and then it all sort of, I don't know if you want to call it falls apart, but I mean, your whole world changed, and then God led you in a totally different direction. And the great news is, I can tell in your voice, Mike, you've been content with it all. I mean, I know nobody likes to be told by the bank your business is over, basically. But at the same time, you sound like to me you sort of knew God had something planned for you and a purpose, in your later years. And so we congratulate you with that, and we encourage people to visit Elijah's Harbor. What's the website again one more time?
www.elijahsplurlharbor.com. And check us out, and you'll maybe come visit us sometime.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Quite a story there, Ray.
Wow. I love the idea. And if you go to the website, which I'm on right now, ElijahsHarbor.com, I mean, Tim, this is a gorgeous place. And you guys know, you've been there, the Smoky Mountains, western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee. That's some of the most beautiful ground on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And they have taken this 200 acres, and Mike and his wife have set it aside for pastors and missionaries and Christian workers. People have retreats there. People have weddings there. So it's a wonderful thing they are doing. Encourage all of our listeners, check them out on the website, ElijahsHarbor.com. A great, great ministry.
Yeah, that brother, he was a CEO
of a
Fortune 500 company, an international company. He was the president and CEO, and then we did hundreds of millions of dollars in sales, and then boom. Of course, a lot of people got hit hard in 2008, I mean really hard. I know a lot of people, us listening right now, had their 401ks cut in half, and that was just part of the ramifications. So many people lost their homes and businesses during that time period. But praise the Lord for what's happened to Brother Mike there and what he's offering with Elijah's Harbor. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I mentioned earlier that we're going to be talking again to Autumn Lindsay, the young 16-year-old girl who did the video in response to the magazine article in Teen Vogue where they were making light of abortion. And she did a video, sort of a homemade video, if you will, that she wrote. She's from Bellingham, Washington area. And that thing has gone viral, over a million views, close to 2 million or over 2 million now.
We talked to her yesterday at this time, 24 hours ago, and it was at 650,000 then. Mm-hmm. And we said yesterday, when it gets over a million, we'd like to talk to you. Well, now we're hearing, Tim, this could be over 2 million?
Well, her daddy's a personal friend of mine. That's how I'm keeping up with this closely. Scott Lindsay, and I've been texting him this morning. He said to me, we're going to hit 2 million views by noon.
Wow.
That's an 8-minute video now. That's not a 30-second video. It's an 8-minute video. Mm-hmm. Walker, is it still on our page?
Yes, it is.
Today's Issues Facebook page, we've got the video posted there, or you can go to studentsforlife.com or .org. I'm not sure which it is. They've got it posted.
It's amazing. This is a 16-year-old girl, Autumn Lindsay, who's unknown to the world.
Right.
Up until 2 days ago. She decides, she takes the initiative, I guess she and her encouragement of her parents, to do this video in response to this terrible article in Teen Vogue or Vogue Teen, whatever it's called. And she just sits down, and if you see the video, she's there. This is not a performance.
Right.
This is from her heart and how deplorable this article is to celebrate a person that has had an abortion.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting there and she pours out her heart in a very firm and a very yet to the point view. It's an absolutely amazing. It's only God could do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need more teenagers like this.
Amen.
To speak up. And you can see how much of a difference it can make. But I believe we have about a minute clip of Autumn's, the first minute of her video that she made in response to a Teen Vogue article making light on the issue of abortion. So let's go ahead and play that.
Hello, my name is Autumn, and I'm 16 and would like to talk to you about an article recently posted by Teen Vogue called what to get a friend post-abortion. And since I'm a teen, this was directed towards me and I would like to respond. The point of the article was to make the situation seem as lighthearted and nonchalant as possible in order to convince girls my age that abortion is no big deal. Well, we need to clarify one thing first. Abortion is a big deal, a very big deal. And to say it is not is simply feeding us a lie. Right off the bat, Teen Vogue said, quote, look, making this decision is never simple, and having to make it as a teenager is more than a little terrifying, but it shouldn't have to be so scary, unquote. Okay, which is it? Is it more than a little terrifying, or is it not so scary? You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other.
Wow.
Well, we'll hear from Autumn personally in about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. She's going to be on with us. We asked her, we told her, we asked her, would she come back on when she went over 1 million views? And she said, yes, she would. She's at a, she's out of town with her daddy, Scott, again on a, she's giving a speech somewhere, a speaking tournament, a debate type thing. I showed you why I didn't do that at age 16 because I can't even come up with what it's described as right now. But anyway, she's a very intelligent, articulate, and committed to Christ young woman. We'll talk to her in about 25 minutes.
Tim, did somebody say she's a homeschooled?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and she participates in a I know a lot of homeschoolers right now are going, they know what I'm talking about. I can't think of the name.
A co-op?
No, it's a national group where you go and you learn how to speak and debate. And a lot of homeschoolers participate in this, and she does as well. She can tell us in 25 minutes. I think Abe Hamilton told me about it yesterday, and he's familiar with it. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We need more young Christian people growing up who can think critically, who can articulate, who can write, who can speak, who can get being, who can engage people with arguments and you know, that's if we got a flood of thousands and thousands of those kinds of Christian young people, we can turn this country around. I'm convinced of that, Walker.
Yeah, I want to go back to what we mentioned earlier. Last year, and this is a slight change of subject, last year the Obama administration sent a directive from the Department of Education and the Department of Justice to all school districts in the United States, directing them and really threatening them to allow essentially boys into girls' restrooms and vice versa, and changing areas, locker rooms. Now we have a new administration, the Trump administration. AFA petitioned the Department of Justice and the Department of Education 2 days ago to rescind that former directive from the Obama administration, essentially to back out of that guidance. And as of last night, the Trump administration backed out of that guidance, which is good news. So it gives schools who were on the fence about this firm opinion as to what they need to do on this, and that is that we don't need boys going into girls' locker rooms and restrooms. So that's a victory on the home
front. And showers and changing areas. Yeah. This was a directive sent out by President Obama, former President Obama, last year to public schools all over the country, and threatening them, basically saying, if you don't accommodate these transsexuals, transgender people, then we might punish you with taking away federal money.
What has happened, too, is that there are a number of court cases now being challenged because there are some states that said, no, we don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And so what has happened is that Attorney General Sessions is saying, okay, we believe, under the direction of President Trump, we believe this is a state rights issue. Mm-hmm. Education, health belongs to the states. President Trump said that during the election campaign. So now the battle goes down to the states.
Right.
So if you have a state, you have a governor, you have people.
Well, California, they already do this.
California, there's a case going on in Virginia right now. And so the battle kind of goes now to a new front.
Right.
It goes to your state folks, your state mm-hmm. legislature. And you need to be talking to your state legislators about this now.
Right. Hey, you know, if California wants to go wacky mm-hmm. on this kind of stuff, Mm-hmm. I say let them knock themselves out, you know, because, you know, they're doing this in their own state.
Well, but unless you have children molested, I mean, it's not. People are impacted by these policies. It's not.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying that don't bring that to states that don't want it. Don't force that on states that don't want it. California is out there on way out there on the far left on a lot of issues. But let me just say this. I remember seeing, Ray, you might want to comment on this. Well, the Trump administration has said this is a state issue. This is not a federal government issue. But I remember seeing a photograph a couple of years ago when California, they've already done this promotion of transgendered people in public schools, you know, forcing forcing this issue. I remember seeing a picture of probably about a 15-year-old boy muscled up, and he had makeup on and earrings. And he was playing. He insisted that he be allowed to play on the girls' softball team at the high school.
Right.
Now he's a 15-year-old boy
wanting to play on a girls'
looked
team.
Looked like a linebacker.
Right.
And he's wanting to play, and he was allowed to. He was allowed to play on the girls' softball team, and
because he thought he was a girl, or he felt like a girl, or identified.
Yes. Now, I guess this is fluid, isn't it, Ray? I mean,
yeah.
What if after the softball season's over, what if he said, well, now I want to play baseball. I feel like a guy now.
Right. On what grounds could they possibly stop him? Right. I mean, if it's fluid, it means it could change. I mean, it could change tomorrow, depending on the way you feel when you get up. Well, that's lunacy. That's madness.
How many 15-year-old boys would say I have a gender identity as a girl if I can go in the showers with the cheerleaders?
Right.
I mean, that kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is ripe for abuse in the schools and for the Obama.
Well, and you know, the one good thing about pushing it down to the state level is then Christians and conservatives in general, we have a better chance. It's hard to change things at the federal level, but in Austin or in Jackson or in Sacramento, you know, we pro-life and pro-family folks, we always have a better chance the closer local. It gets to the local level. So this at least is moving it into an arena where the forces of morality have a better chance.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. That's the political initiative. But I predict there are going to be some court issues here, too. Mm-hmm. Let's say, you know, dad and mom, you have a daughter that goes to one of these schools, let's say in California, where this kind of thing is allowed, and my daughter is assaulted because of this policy, then you want a lawsuit.
Right.
This has to happen in these jurisdictions, in these states that are going to allow this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have to face lawsuits when these assaults, and we know these assaults are taking place. We've chronicled there's at least 20 Walker or so cases that involved Target and
retail stores.
Right. So you know it's going to happen in these schools.
Yeah.
And when it does, and God forbid, we're not wishing this, but when it does happen, these parents have to launch lawsuits.
Right.
Because I believe the school district and the states are directly liable for the safety of every student.
Right.
Every student.
Yeah. And here's the good news. Our supporters, AFA supporters, AFR listeners, together sent 68,000 emails to the Department of Justice and the Department of Education.
That's great.
In the last 2 days, and they took action on it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Positive outcome there. You know, I know President Trump has his, weaknesses are yet to be determined. Accomplishments that he has promised, but thus far I think he has a real good batting average on fulfilling his campaign promises, and we look forward to more of them taking place. Had Hillary Clinton been elected president, it'd have been full-fledged promotion of transgenderism all over the country by the federal government. You can count that as that would have happened for sure. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.